Check, check. Good morning, CKLN listeners. Sorry for the delays. It is the 5th day of July, 2010. You are listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening. And I'm trying to figure out how to get this new computer in stereo working. So can't quite do that right now. Give me a second here. I'm going to flip back to what might have been playing before.
Down the middle of the road, like everyone else. Like everyone That's else. Rude Awakening.
Oh, weekdays, this is what they did. Okay, so now I know what they did. where it says turntables, it's actually the computer, and then where it says computer, it's something else. So no worries. We do have a new computer here in the studio, and you are currently listening to an old Rude Awakening promo as I queue up the rest of the show. Sorry for being a little bit late. My feet hurt more than I thought, so I couldn't walk here as fast as I wanted to. Sign of my own mortality. What the hell? All right, I got a solution.
That's Rude Awakening, weekday, 6 to 7 a.m. on CKLN.
Rude Awakening, tightened security, more limited access to legal support, racial...
And this is Toronto-based artist Wisay God, Y-I-S-A-Y-G-A-W-D. He gave my colleague Brad and I a couple of CDs when he saw us flyering before the G20, asking people, you know, what are you going to do before the G20? And, this is something that struck me yesterday as I was wandering around. Been listening to some hip-hop recently, trying to get my stones going for... the big scrap, battle in Babylon over some BS they pulling, and so on. But you can't always walk around like you got a chip in your shoulder, or you burn yourself out, it's not good to. That's why. Bless them all on their way, yeah. Bless them all on their way. Bless them all on their way. And so yesterday, while working on a few ideas, had a great weekend. I've had a productive few days. I've been postering a fair bit. I've been getting some positive responses from the streets. And by the streets, I don't just mean, you know, the archetypical, you know, set direction. We need some thugs. Although, it's cool, man. I'm cool with everybody, just like everybody's cool with everybody. That's Toronto. That's what makes this the greatest city in the world, is that everybody's cool with everybody. But at 6:14, I got to do the call signs because I couldn't find the new promo or the promo for the CRTC. So you are listening to CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. This is July 5th, 2010. This is Rude Awakening. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna. A little endearingly scatterbrained, I hope, although the endearingly is certainly... up to you. I wouldn't try and persuade you otherwise. So we're listening to the Wisay God album right now. And the album's called Journey of the Visionary. So what kind of visions you think Mr. God is got in his mind? And for that matter, what kind of visions you think any of these artists got in their mind? And I'm chilling at the near, for those of you who don't know Toronto, the Annex is kind of a, you know, hippie, yuppie, you know, nifty, yet mainstream, yet funky, yet drunky. Yeah, it's a great area. I've lived there for most of my time in Toronto, living on my own. And so I was there yesterday, and there's a mural right near the Bathurst subway station, just sort of one alleyway north of Bloor Street. And it's got Prince there, a big mural of Prince, Dizzy Gillespie, I think Axl Rose. There's like four or five artists there, Jimi Hendrix. And so I'm just, and the Starbucks, where I got my Starbucks, is the patio's full. So I go back there to chill out for a minute in the gorgeous, gorgeous Caribbean style Toronto weather, where the humidity in the air is amazing. And the moisture in the air is amazing, and your muscles feel all loose. And yeah, it's a little hot, it's a little sticky, you know, no fretting on that. Yes, it is, no problem. But at the same time, it's a privilege to be able to enjoy a tranquil environment like that, you know, the stillness of the air. And so in that moment, in those moments, you catch yourself maybe in a second quiet meditation, and I'm staring at Dizzy Gillespie blowing into a freaking trumpet. And I'm thinking, what the hell's on that guy's mind? You know, what is he, you know, aside from musical perfection, you know, getting the notes right in a, you know, there's learning to dance and there's knowing to dance. And or knowing how to dance. Learning how to dance and there's knowing how to dance. And if you're learning how to dance, then you got to count the steps. You know, one, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. But if you know how to dance, then you can, those steps are kind of inherent. And you don't have to, you know, and then you can improvise. And it's the same thing with, you know, performing and jamming and so on. So I'm thinking, what was this guy trying to get us to do? You know, and then I'm bumping some Bob, DJ War, Crown Me King of Reggae. Crazy name for a DJ, crazy name for a CD, which, you know, I don't think Bob would ever say that. I don't think he'd like that CD title, but much respect to DJ War, because it's a great album of Bob's music, you know, with kind of fades and mixed together in a nice kind of narrative. And I get the sense from Why Say God, from Bob Marley, from Bob Dylan, from, you know, all the great musical artists, you know, in history. And from, you know, the religious figures and political leaders and spiritual leaders and so on, that, you know, they were trying to say and do something to inspire us to do something. That's just my read on the situation.
Highest of highs. Holy of holy. The fear of the truth. Denied the Lion of Judah into their heart. Ye say, God can deliver a message to all the down oppressing. Stand firm, rise up, your time has come. Been so long, they tried to keep us down. But no more, no more, oh, oh, we can't take the crown. I said no more, no more, we've come to take the crown, Lord. Let's go.
And so you get a random, you know, clip of this brilliant CD by Why Say God. And I'm not making no money off him. I've actually never seen him. I traded an email. I sent him an email saying, you know, here's your show. And he said, thanks. And that's it. It's cool. If I see Homeboy again, great. But if not, both of us are busy people on our grind, I'm sure. So our paths will cross at some point. But what the heck is he trying to mean by that? You know, he's talking about children crying. And he's talking about how, you know, Babylon system gonna fall. We're gonna rise up. and the Lion of Judah, Haile Selassie, the Emperor of the Rastafarian religion, is who he's recommending you, you know, you look to for inspiration. And hey, I, you know, certainly a worthy candidate, like you know, I would say many are, just because there are many people out there that have to act. And so, you know, converting everybody at this point seems a little bit silly, a goal to aim for me personally. I mean, you can try if that's your thing, but if that's your thing for you, then it's not really dealing practically with, you know, the world as it is today. If it's dealing with things for other people, you know, how can they, you know, we work too hard and we like to party. So, you know, how do we fit the narrative of doing something to guarantee our futures into that? And that's a key. So I'm listening to some Bob, and there's some great stuff. And there's a song, as you already know, and starts off with Natural Mystic. There's a Natural Mystic blowing through the air. If you listen carefully, now you can hear. And I got to tell you, folks, here on CKLN Rude Awakenings, your host BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, I tend to philosophize a little bit, especially on Monday, especially after a busy weekend. I was putting a bunch of posters saying G20 martial law is over. Will men make sure this never happens again? And so far it seems like it's a worthy idea to consider. I did get one email from a guy who said he was ripping them down. Didn't have any reasons for it. I just suggested I get some sort of help. And so I wrote him a little response back, you know, whatever, and suggested he do the same, especially since he couldn't cite any reasons to rip him down. He just said, "You need help. You make me uncomfortable." And it's like, well, look, man, don't kill the messenger. And don't be, you know, running those snitch Gestapo tactics on me, because then I'd go after your stuff, you go after my stuff, and you know, we could just take each other out of the game when it comes to free speech. And if I'm wrong, fine, correct me, or ignore it, or laugh at it, or call it stupid, or whatever. I mean, you know, there's a bunch of stupid stuff up that doesn't bother me, except, you know, I wish there was less stupid stuff in the world, But whatever, you know, I can laugh at it, and so you can laugh at it. But if it disturbs you enough to actually, you know, follow me around and rip them down, if that's even true, because I do know that, you know, I was followed by, you know, cops and helicopters and city workers on Thursday last week, June 24th, were kind of shadowing me to rip them down. And so that's one reason why I don't have a cell phone. It's honestly just a game, really, at this point. I mean, you know. You know, they have overwhelming strength in terms of physical confrontation. You know, all we have is the will and the system and the environment in which we live in to operate comfortably and peacefully and lawfully to put a message out that, you know, we hope is received well by people, you know, in time to make sure that we have a shot at, you know, at Wagwan. And so, you know, and the shot at Wagwan is a system of globalization, you know, from, you know, the New World Order, the Anglo-American establishment, post-colonial, you know, masters. The Queen happens to be in town right now, and I happen to manage to bump into these random things. I'm near Union Station yesterday, and there's, I'd say, about maybe 300 people there, 200-300 people there. I'm looking to see a brief glimpse of the Queen at the Royal York Hotel. And there was a bunch of cops there, but not many. It was maybe like 10 cops there, a couple of cars, and the public was allowed to get fairly close to Her Highness. I was at the back of the crowd with my camera out and just kind of checking out the reactions of it. And, you know, people seemed happy, you know, and you know, there are a lot of monarchists in this country, but based on how he was raised. So, you know, can't front on them too much, but again, it's, you know, my issues with people are not with people. And so even if I was to sort of see the Queen or be face to face with the Queen, you know, I'd be nice to her and, I'd stink my pinky ring out, you know, when I drank tea with her and I'd interview her and I'd ask, you know, Her Majesty, you know, what Her Majesty's thoughts were on a variety of issues just so I could get them. But outside of that, I'm in an adversarial relationship against the system, like many other anti-New World Order crusaders are. And so, when it comes to talking mess about these issues, you know, we should have some latitude, because if it's mess, then why does it mess you up? And if it's not mess, then, you know, what do we do about this mess? And so that brings me back to music. I'm hearing Bob Marley, you know, singing, you know, they got so much things to say right now. They got so much things to say. And I'm like, I translate that into, you know, our media bombardment. And if you listen to his, you know, his work, you pretty much get everything you need. And I only cite Bob as an example. It's almost cliche to you talk about Bob. But again, you know, who did that to him? It's not his fault. I've said some smart-ish, and if people make it cliche to talk about me so nobody does, or the stuff I said, well, y'all are screwed. You know, not screwed in the grand sense that I'm, you know, the end-all be-all, but you're more screwed than you would be than, you know, if you're willing to independently consider how you feel about one of the greatest artists of all time. And so I periodically revisit Mr. Marley's work, as well as the work of many other people, to try and benefit from that. And there's all sorts of highs and lows and emotions and ranges in there. And there's different ways to use music. But I got to tell you, folks, if you don't program yourself, someone else is going to program you. They don't call them television programs for nothing, or television programming for that matter. And with the new 3D TVs here, you know, it's just going to get crazy. The bigger the TVs get, the dumber we get. And it's wild. And I'm also, I'm tracking changes kind of actively. So I'm out in Milton on the weekend to see the folks. And I'm walking around the streets on Saturday night, overdoing it actually, on the bunions. Walked up to York Mills Station from deepest, darkest downtown before making my way out there. And the pointy-headed point is that I'm noticing how quiet it is on the streets relative to when I lived there for a couple years ago. And I'm wondering, where the heck is everybody? And I'm at the Eaton Center on the weekend, and driving by a Grand Toy to cop me some glue sticks. And I'm noticing, because I do a little walk through the Eaton Center, I'm noticing that 70 is the new 50. 70% off signs everywhere, all throughout the Eaton Center. 70% off. I'm talking top floor, rich floor. I'm talking middle floor, you know, middle floor. And I'm talking low floor, you know, the grimier, you know, corner of the Eaton Center. 70% off signs everywhere. That's highly unusual. You know, that is very unusual, but that shows how much companies are slashing into their profit margins. And what's happening to our economy as it sags. But so what do you do? Well, what do we do? Well, you know, again, it, you know, not exactly sure, not 100% sure, but one can hypothesize that nothing ain't the answer. So as long as nothing ain't the answer, you got to go with what's something, you know, the something that works. And I told the other buddy the other day, Brown Dude, I know, you know, from business circles, handling my sticky business in a bit of sticky business, and it's taking a minute. But I told him, I said, the only reason I can say to you that I think 9/11 is an inside job and not have you blink is because of the InfoWar. It's because people were sharing DVDs, flyers, websites, you know, online information, posting, arguing, discussing, dialecting. And we had a really, really good shot. I thought we had to get this done by 08 to be certain about things. Now that it's 2010, it's getting a little hairy out there. And our response to that, you know, a world where we just had the G20 martial law situation, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of police in military formations sent to occupy and terrorize Toronto. And yet, you know, for their roles, you know, some good, some bad, but on the most part good, I'd say, just because I was around checking it out. And it's even outside of my own personal experiences, you know, I mean, I got mayor to the streets And I'm not hearing too much except for, you know, the presence itself, you know, being imposing and intimidating at times. And so, you know, you got this situation here. Now, in this situation, if guys are intimidated, how do you think women feel? So on that note, I'm going to go to a clip of the Alex Jones radio show where he brings up Al Gore's sexual harassment accuser, just because, yeah, it's important out there to understand the psychopathy of the elite at the top and how it's being filtered down to us and what we can do to resist. So I'll play a few minutes of this and discuss it on the way back, because I got to tell you, if guys are intimidated by what's going on, women have to be as well. And so in a situation like that, who should feel, you know, less intimidated in the sense of being a response to this? Who should feel more capable of doing that? And I would argue it's guys, and I would continue to argue that until someone proves a better argument is there to be made. But everybody who's responsible and capable at this time should definitely check this out and then check out the connections between this and the psychopathy running rampant in our culture.
Some of the Harvard frat guys invented what they call whaling. I'm not going to go any deeper into it, but the fatter the woman, the better. And some of the Harvard frat guys invented what they call whaling. I'm not going to go any deeper into it, but the fatter the woman, the better. And they like to get them drunk and then be mean to them. I've actually heard the stories from some of the scum. So, again, this is what these elites are into. If they can have any gorgeous, beautiful number 10 woman they want, no, they like to kind of make an old lady beg and plead and not want to have sex with them. So, again, it just fits the whole M.O., and I believe it happened. And he's in a lot of trouble. And of course, his wife's leaving him ahead of all this coming out. And if you think Tiger Woods was out of control, he was just red-blooded. I'm not saying it's good what he did, but he did like attractive, fast women. There are worse crimes, but rape or attempted rape is a crime. Portland police reopen Al Gore sex abuse allegations. And claimed former vice president subjected her to unwanted sexual touching in 2006. I love the way the media spins that. If you listen to this tape, if you listen to her police report, and you can hear the police, they're totally buying it. They totally know she's telling the truth. Because, I mean, that's what they're trained to be able to pick up on. In fact, let's just go ahead and play a few minutes of this tape right now. I'm only going to play a few minutes of it, but let's go ahead and play a few minutes of it. Again, Portland police reopen Al Gore sex abuse tape. And the Chinese national television has also and, of course, we also have the Inquirer cover. Al Gore is a pervert and sexual predator. And she told him, stop it, you sex poodle. And she said she tried to nicely get him to stop, but he just kept pushing and pushing, and it appeared that's how he liked it. So she had to escape out of the room. But again, the reason I know her story's true, there's a lot of factors, was the, you know, repeating, this is not unwanted sexual events. I am not making it. This is not happening, as he was chasing her around, trying to grab her from behind, hunching like a feral dog, you know, does with a chew toy. Let's go ahead and go to this tape. Here it is.
I went into much deeper shock as I realized it appeared he was demanding sexual favors. Or sexual behaviors. I decided to declare I got so freaked I just got a tiny bit mad under my terror. I decided to clarify things by asking him, as he angrily complained that I was not doing what he wanted, for him to show me exactly what he wanted me to do, such as random such. I said, well, why don't you show me? Because I thought, this is too nuts. He grabbed my right hand hard, shoved it down under the sheet to his pubic hair area, my fingers brushing against his penis, and firmly planted my hand on his pubic crest region and said to me, there, in a very sharp, loud, angry-sounding tone. This is all happening really fast, as you can imagine. Further yet into shock from both his demand and his angry, intimidating behavior, I subtly and slowly slid my hand up away from the area and told him it would be a counterproductive massage technique, as he had said that he'd wanted to unwind from stress and relax, and that it would get him too awake, I said euphemistically and diplomatically. I felt like I was dancing on the edge of a razor. angrily raged an accusatory and threatening confrontational tone. He bellowed at me. He had no idea. And I've never had a client yell at me, except for one who was brain injured and she was drunk. And I work with her all the time. She's a mess. But she's like 5 feet tall. And she'll cry. Okay, so he screamed at me. He goes, I'm not asking, imagine yelling, I'm not asking for you to do anything inappropriate. To which I replied in a softer, terrified, calming tone, no impropriety was inferred, sir. At this point, I was realizing just how crazy and insidious he was and how precarious my situation was when he said the aforementioned, even though he clearly wanted inappropriate touch. It's like to make your mind go nuts. He was moaning, groaning, moving, and acting in a very suggestive way. It was unreal. I never even had any of my hotel clients get angry, yell, or act out at me before. During the massage episode, I realized, much to my horror, that I was in the perfect storm and that I was in a room with someone who was Teflon-coated in terms of his credibility and celebrity status, and my usual safety net idea in all hotel massages before this of being able to escape from such a potential situation of perverted or threatening behavior from a client, which would be terminate the massage and leave the room immediately for help from the front hotel desk. Even running and or shouting for help in the hallway if deemed necessary was completely worthless in this situation. It was no longer viable because I feared that if I ran for the door to get out, I could or would be violently accosted by some security detail for seeming to be hostile, inappropriate, insubordinate, or threatening to him, and I feared being tased or shot by them as a first and immediate response. I also feared that if I made dissent with Gore, I could be in danger of being falsely arrested for false allegations of alleged soliciting or even attempted assault in his efforts to do damage control. And I felt certain that any, even the smallest complaint from him to the hotel could also destroy my work life reputation in all the hotels and hence do irreparable damage to my livelihood, not to mention damage my personal reputation, which I had spent years building with my livelihood. I felt very uncertain if I'd be able to get out of the room without being accosted by him anyway at this point. Does that all make sense to y'all?
Mm-hmm.
He then tried another tactic as though he had very suddenly switched personalities and began in a pleading tone, pleading for release of his second chakra there. There's so much tension being held. This was yet another euphemism for sexual activity he was requesting, put cleverly as though it were a spiritual request or something. I was further deeply shocked and repulsed as my realization of what was happening sunk in, and especially as my mind was now reeling from this absolute betrayal by someone I had inherently trusted as a good guy who cares about people, including me, because of his public persona. No. When I came out, he was in his robe and he complimented me on the session. I felt I could leave without further problems from him, but I was wrong in that surmising. I was freaked out and trying to act calm and collected so as not to look vulnerable and so as to keep any other weirdness from him from happening. He engaged me in small talk as I headed for my massage table to break it down, and he came over to where I was while I was trying to pack up. And then he wrapped me in an inescapable embrace as I turned around, giving this come hither look deep into my eyes and caressed my back and buttocks and breasts. I squirmed to try and get out of his grasp, telling him to stop, down several times, and I finally told him, I said, you're being a crazy sex poodle, hoping that he'd realize how weird he was being, yet he persisted. He was much stronger than me, bigger than me, and insistent. It was completely unnerving, and I realized that resistance was making him giggle and pursue more strongly. And I knew then that this resistance was a dangerous tactic to use if I wanted to avoid being raped. I had the fear that rape would be inevitable if I could not get out of the room, yet I could see no way to immediately leave without it also being a risk to my safety.
Okay.
Because I felt he would use force to counter.
It goes on forever, but we've got the full multi-hour interview. We've got a 23-minute boil down. You can go hear this for yourself. As he begins chasing her around with an erection, we don't normally talk about stuff like this on the show, but we've got cops reportedly raping women up at the G20. We've got the vice president the former vice president reportedly doing this, and it fits his M.O. to a T. We've got a new police investigation, so we have to play part of it. It gets too graphic. I've made the decision not to play anymore of the video because he starts running around with an erection outside of his robe, humping on her as she goes out the door, showing her condoms, saying, why are there condoms in this hotel room? This is a hotel room that supplies me this. And I was on a road trip once, and I remember we were like in Nevada somewhere in the middle of nowhere on a college road trip. And we were sitting around joking in the room, drinking beer and smoking cigarettes. And we're like, why does it say push here for massage? And one of the guys jokes and goes, this is Nevada. They probably send a whore to your room. And later I found out that's what that is. And so I think Al Gore must check into these super ritzy places and thought he was because later in the tape, he goes, this is Oriental Massage. And I, you know, in downtown Austin, they got places like Midnight Cowboy and Oriental Massage or now they're called Lingerie Modeling. And I've never been in one, but the word is you get a little.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, I'm extremely excited to have Governor Jesse Ventura, former Minnesota governor, with us. He's also the star of the hit TV show, number one new show on True TV, picked up for a second season. He's been out shooting in the last month, back from Mexico. A lot has happened behind the scenes. Of course, I'm not allowed to talk about it, and the governor, the head of the show, he can talk about as much of it as he wants, but it's been very interesting. I'll tell you this, I can't get emails. Because I'm consulting some on it, from home, from my employees' emails, to Tyrell and other people working on the show. So there's a lot of chicanery going on with the governor out there on the road because he's getting close to some really dangerous issues. He'll talk about the oil spill. We'll get into the economy, the wars, McChrystal, all of it today. Of course, his new book has been on the New York Times bestseller list for the last 2 months. It's available in bookstores everywhere. Jesse Ventura with Dick Russell, American Conspiracies. It's also available at Infowars.com. And he's not on the talk circuit right now. You know, a few times a year he comes out and does interviews. He's giving us this interview. He gave Larry King one a few weeks ago. And so I feel very honored to have the governor join us. Governor, great to have you.
Great to be here, Alex. No, I only did the Larry interview because they requested and that Oliver Stone was going to be on. And I thoroughly enjoy Oliver's movie making and his talent. And if we could go on that for a moment, he sent me a copy of his film. I think it's called South of the Border, the documentary, and I watched it. And as I said on Larry King, I urge everyone to watch this film because it's on Hugo Chavez and it's on South America, and it also covers how things that we're hearing here through our media are totally wrong from what the reality is down there.
Well, I know the media lied and said that Chavez had said that a U.S. weapon caused the Haitian earthquake, and then it did get retracted later, but a little bitty paragraph in the Washington Post, the New York Times, he never said that.
Well, the thing is about it, it's even bigger than that, Alex. It's a case of this. It's now clear to me, and I don't get me wrong, I'm not anti-business. I'm not anti-anything, really. I'm a great believer in freedom. But it seems that any country that nationalizes their oil and nationalizes their natural resources and doesn't let our corporations go in there and, for lack of better terms, rape and pillage them, well, we then call that person a communist, a dictator, and we start working to oust them. I mean, we attempted a coup against Chavez back in 2003, but the people, the guy's been voted into office so many times you can't imagine. All the other South American leaders love the guy. He comes from a very modest background of being one of the people. He truly is. And let people be their own judge. But when Oliver and I were on the show, here comes Congressman what's his name from Florida?
Ding dong.
Baseball, Connie Mack. And he's advocating that this film should be banned. And I ask him, have you seen it? And he goes, no. That's the big picture, Alex, is that we're supposed to be a free country. You don't have to like Hugo Chavez, but you should at least have the ability to learn about the guy from alternative sources and not just what our government tells us about him.
Well, that's the Renaissance way, and I did watch the Larry King episode, and he did say, basically, ban it. And what an amazing anti-American statement. Even if I disagree with something, I think that it should be available.
Well, we don't ban things here. You know, banning things, that's ridiculous. We learn because we learn all about things and then make proper judgments, and we can all make them, but you certainly can't make them if you're not getting necessarily the whole truth or can't seek alternative methods of learning about stuff. If we rely solely on our government, Alex, and the mainstream soundbite media, we will be the most ignorant nation in the world.
Well, in many respects, we are. Stay there, Governor Jesse Ventura. We'll be right back.
They got so much things to say. Hey, but I'll never forget no way they crucified Jesus Christ. I'll never forget no way they sold Marcus Garvey for rice.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. That's right. I'll never forget that 9/11 was an inside job. I'll never forget the ClimateGate email scandal. I'll never forget that Iran-Contra in the early 80s exposed the U.S. government as drug dealers. Even though they got so much things to say, I will never forget that the CIA created the Al-Qaeda's and the Taliban's and back in the 80s, early 80s, late 70s, to provoke the Soviets into a war. This was admitted by Zbigniew Brzezinski, a top globalist, a gray man. He can walk amongst the people, be on MSNBC, and he can walk into the shadows, so he can go into both the black and the white universe, the light and the dark. And he's like Henry Kissinger. He's just the sort of Henry Kissinger of the sort of left wing of the dialectic that the New World Order runs on us. And he admitted in the French paper Le Nouvel Observateur a few years ago they did that to provoke the Soviets, not just to, as a response to the Soviet invasion, but to actually provoke the Soviets into invading. And yet, I also just read the other day that General Petraeus, which is a name, Petraeus, that's really familiar to us right now, is in fact taking over the war in Afghanistan. And apparently he's going to be kicking butt and taking names or whatever. just absolute nonsense. I feel bad. A Canadian soldier kind of nodded to me the other day. I nodded back to him as well, because we're all trapped in this system. You know, I'm not even paid to do this show. I'm not paid to do anything. So I just kind of go off like a whack job. And try and, live, fairly meagerly on some, remnants of savings and a bit of borrowed money. And, until I start campaigning and raising money. And we're back to the YSA guide. And so on. And so, I am in a privileged position that not a lot of people are able to be in. And so I can kind of see the game. And I feel bad for people who are not doing the job they want to do. And I have no idea about this Canadian soldier. Again, it's just a brief little, nod, hello. It happens all the time now, everywhere south of Bloor. And then even north of Bloor. I walked up to York Mill Station. I was like, oh, crap, word's getting around. So that's good. That's a good news. The good news is that, here in Canada, and I do affectionately, occasionally call this Communist Canada, for right or wrong, for better or worse. We're not stupid. We're just quiet. And the globalists, the globalists at the top, the New World Order, you know, they got that twisted when they, you know, when they decided to hold their little G20 thingy here. And because we don't talk about things much, it's even hard for them to track what we know and you know, how we're doing. So there's pluses and minuses to this, I suppose. But, you know, I'll say this much, you know, as someone who does try and, you know, do the best I can, I suppose, you know, and, you know, best I can being some days are better, some days are worse, at trying to gauge, you know, the public mood, you know, and what's going on and how the G20, you know, martial law, PSYOP, media spin made us forget the whole thing within 3 days and yet remember it all fairly quickly, you know, if there was a reason to. I got to say that we're, you know, we're in decent shape in this country. And despite the 70% off sales signs, the Eaton Center showing a major slowdown in the retail sector, which will affect, you know, jobs and productivity and so on and so forth. And some of that will be caused by the $1.2 billion, you know, G20 summit, the budget of Toronto for the year spent on security for, you know, a week or so, you know, which failed by design based on, you know, the reports. You can go to pressfortruth.ca. For some of those, Infowars.com. For others, and it's not a programming note, just because I brought them up. The guys, Dan Dixon, Brian Law, behind the excellent reporting at PressFORTruth.ca, and behind the excellent film "United We Fall." Three countries, two sides, one union. About the North American Union, where basically, you know, corporate working groups held meetings, and judicialwatch.org sued to get the documents, as well as they were released by Mel Hertig from the meeting in Banff, Canada. And so there's been tons of admissions over the years. Basically, corporations and corporate sort of working groups decide how they want to carve up, you know, the North Americas. And then they hold meetings and invite politicians and tell them, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to say. And so on. So, on that note, I'd like to flash to another clip. So far, it's been a theme show. I want to talk about the clip with the Al Gore accuser, but Jones did a pretty good job of that. But the bottom line is that, you know, that type of elite psychopathy at the top, you know, just see the movie American Psycho, see the movie The Company of Men, you know, where you know, guys would play the same kind of game and date girls just to sort of abuse them. And even today, that's, you know, part of it. And porn is part of it. So go to the Pink Cross, thepinkcross.org, to get the other side of that, just so you can immunize yourself. You might still look at porn, and you might still, you know, live your life normally. You'll just have more information to make smarter choices about what your normal is. So on that note, Ron Paul and the Alex Jones Show from Canada Day, the 1st of July, 2010. Talking a bit of smack about the governments. He ends off the clip by saying, which I don't think we have time to play, but he ends off the clip by saying that, you know, how you vote now should determine, or how you voted in the past should determine, you know, how you do in the next elections. And since this is an election year in Toronto, and, you know, we only talk about it when the media flares it up once in a while, it might be worth remembering that, checking the voting records of some of these people and seeing what they've been saying about things that we care about.
Telling people how members of Congress have voted. I mean, this is 180 degrees, the opposite of what our country was founded on. I can't even believe this is happening. Can you speak to that and where this is going?
Well, it's going in the wrong direction, obviously, and that is what I understand about Campaign for Liberty. They've had somebody at least make a charge and file a complaint that there was a violation, but it probably won't hold up, hopefully. But the whole idea that people think they can and harass you and you go through this legal maneuvering, because that is the goal of many, is to control us. I think the main goal is also to control the Internet. They're very interested in that. The other day we had sounded like a pretty benign vote. It was under suspension, and that was to praise the idea that government and private entities would study and work together on how to provide cybersecurity. And I don't know if there was anybody else that voted against it. I voted against it just on this principle that we don't need that. We don't need this private sources cooperating with the federal resort, you know, the government forces. in order to have cybersecurity. I don't think the government's interested in our security. They're interested in their security. But, yes, I think everything is going, especially with this administration, is going in the wrong direction. And I've always been fearful of them wanting to take over the Internet. You know, they've announced, made this announcement that, you know, if necessary, they might even just close down the Internet, which would be devastating to all of us.
Well, that's what Lieberman said on CNN. He said, China has this power. We need it. And I would imagine they'll shut it down a few times, but turn it right back on and say, see, we saved it.
Unfortunately, I'm afraid that could very well happen.
Well, expanding on that, two things, and I want your specific take on this, Congressman Ron Paul. We appreciate you joining us today. This shows that we're really having an effect, that they're harassing Campaign for Liberty, that they're openly coming out and saying they want to restrict free speech, put taxes, quote, on conspiracy theories, and Cass Sunstein at the White House, the regulations are said, like anthropogenic global warming. If you deny that, maybe we should tax you or fine you. I mean, the fact that they want to shut us up shows that we're gaining ground, A, and B, doesn't it reveal to everyone just how tyrannical these people really are?
Yeah, I think it does, and it's a real job to sort all this out, because sometimes people think that all we need are a couple more Republicans and that'll solve the problem, but that's not necessarily the case. But right now, it's the Democrats who are in charge, and they're the ones who are, you know, wanting to radicalize this whole thing. And we know that that is the agenda of many, you know, in the establishment, and that is more government control and less personal freedom, more taxes, the whole mess that we've been fighting. But I still, you know, hold out that the people are waking up, and it may well be that the opposition, that is the government, is getting very concerned that the people are becoming alert from all that has been done in the freedom movement.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's an all that Peter is cold.
Back, CKLN listeners. That's right. All that glitters is not gold, and half the story has not been told. So, for 4 hours a week, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays here on CKLN Radio, from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. here on 88.1 CKLN FM, CKLN.FM online, Rogers Cable Box 947. Try and break down some of that.
Take away everything and make everybody feel high. But if you know what life is worth, you would look for yours on earth. And now you see the light, you stand up for your rights. Yeah, get up, stand up.
And I had to say, back in the days before the IMHO, you know, world where we're all supposed to be extra humble and be governed by experts who give us our opinions and then teach us to chastise each other for not parroting them properly. You know, people would say, now you see the light. I just said it. I said it good. I worked this bad boy out, and then I put it in a song, and then I said it good. And so, yeah, you know, some people say, great God will come from the sky, take away everything, make everybody be high. But if you know what life is worth, then you would look for yours on earth. And now you see the light. And you're going to stand up for your rights, so.
Stand up in the morning.
Give it up. Stand up for your rights.
Stand up right now.
Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Not that I don't, you know, I'm not anti-death. Not that I don't wish you all the best in death, you know, and after death you get to go and be in a nice, you know, lovely warm place. But, you know, I was just approached on the street the other day by a guy asking me about, you know, the stuff. And he said he was a Christian and nice guy. What happened here? That's better. Said a Christian, nice guy asked me, but, you know, he started telling me a bit about that. And I was like, yeah, man, it's all good, you know, but, you know, God give me strength, you know, and that sort of thing. And so, and you know, deeds and words and how, you know, just waiting is a sure way to, you know, be lazy and think you're special. And that's programming. It's not even your fault. This is you know, how we've been raised. You know, but there is some work to do on these issues in the info war, because that seems to be the best option at this point. Although, of course, we're always looking for more. And speaking of that, happy Pride to everybody yesterday. Hopefully everybody had a great time. Going to give it up to the People's DJ, David James, next for your 4 hours of super jazz that only he could spin. So do stick around for that here on CKLN Radio. Security no match for older woman. Pictures of the queen everywhere. They are really selling the hell out of her. And I got a feeling she was kind of happy about what went down at the G20 summit. So, you know, I take that for what it's worth. And you know, maybe treat the coverage of her accordingly. But, you know, she's one of those figures where people can just have fun enjoying her. So whatever, it is what it is. On that note, I'm going to sign off today's show with a few websites for you to check out for more. I hope you enjoyed the clip of Al Gore's accuser and then a 60-year-old man and a 75-year-old man fighting the New World Order as hard as they can, and Jesse Ventura and Ron Paul, as well as, of course, Alex Jones at the age of 36, putting in crazy work on these issues. So, yeah, guys can do it. And women can do it, too. There's tons of great women. I can name a dozen right now, but don't have the time. But the bottom line is that it's a more natural thing for guys to get their fingernails dirty with, you know, whatever the case may be, or face any possible dangers in the streets from guys who are uncomfortable, who might step to you. Or whatever. And it's also, if you get social disapproval, you know, a lot of times guys can be like, ah, this is just the way I roll. And it's a little easier for them to say that and catch less flack. So number of good reasons for guys to scrap. Although, of course, all who can are welcome and should. So go to Infowars.com for more on that. Oh, yeah, this evening. PressForTruth.ca. I'm guest hosting Word of Mouth Mondays tonight at 7 o'clock, 7 to 8 p.m. Dan Dixon and Brian Law will be co-hosting with me for much of the hour. And so that should be fun. But for now, Infowars.com, great place to check out for news. Naturalnews.com for health news. TrendsResearch.com for wealth news. CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com for Alan Watts' amazing radio shows. VigilantCitizen.com for news on celebrities and how the industry is controlled. SeedsOfDeception.com for GMO foods. FluorideAlert.org for fluoride information, because it's bad for us, so we should try and get it out of our bodies and water supply. VRAN.org for vaccine information. You got kids out there, or thinking of taking one yourself? Look into the risks as well as benefits. Locally, great groups, PressForTruth.ca, ConspiracyCulture.com, TorontoTruthSeekers.com, and the Toronto Street News homeless paper out there. It's gorgeous in Toronto right now. A little warm, naturally, but gorgeous. Hey, that being the case, let's have fun partying. But let's just understand on the side, maybe we can sneak a little work done here and there. And subtly, don't get in anyone's face. Get something in their pocket. Let them check it out later. And if they like it, great. If not, whatever, man. We see stuff we don't like all the time, so why are we tripping? I'm out of here, folks. Have a great day. Peace out.
hey, but I'll never forget no way. They crucified Jesus Christ. I'll never forget no way. They sold Marcus Garvey for rice. I'll never forget no way. They turned their backs on Paul Bogle. Hey, hey, so don't you forget no you, who you are and where you stand in the struggle. They got so very, 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 so very. They changing everything. They say so much today. They got so much things to say. So much things to say. I not come to fight flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high and low places. So while they fight you down, stand firm and give Jah thanks and praises. Cause I do expect to be justified by the laws of men, by the laws of men. Oh, jury found me guilty, but proved, true Jah proved my innocence. When the rain falls all over now, it will fall and one man's house stop. Remember that. When the rain falls, it won't fall on one man's house stop. He's singing so, so much very much, so very much, just so much very much, so very. They got so much. I can go places. So why they fight you down, stand firm and give your thanks and praises. I and I don't expect to be justified by the laws of men, by the laws of men. Hey, true, got to prove my innocence. I don't do wicked things, they found me guilty. They got so well, 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 well.